Sahana Vavatu, Sahanao Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navadhi Tamastoma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so Chaitanya Upanayanam, Natya Shastra, Chapter 5, Preliminaries of a Play, verses 143 to 166, page 23. According to Bharat, these are the constituent parts of a regular Purvaranga, or Chaturasra Purvaranga. The Triasra Purvaranga is similar but shortened. While in the Chitra Purvaranga, strewing of flowers and dance of the gods, etc., are added. Bharata issues a note of warning that there should be some limit to the dance, song, and instrumental music. If songs, music, and dance continue for too long, they tire out the artists as well as the spectators. Tired persons can neither attain nor give help in attaining a clear impression of the mellows. And because of this, the rest of the performance cannot properly excite feelings. After performing the preliminaries, the director, along with his assistants, should take their exit from the stage. Mm-hmm. So these preliminaries are there because they're auspicious, they create a nice mood and all that, but it also has that variety of moves, because you see, it has 20 parts. So nine of them are behind the curtain, so you don't see those, but they still have to be set up, because if you don't bring the instruments, set them up, do all the different things, then you're not going to be able to actually perform anything, you know. But out in front where people can see all the things, the director going around and that, and he says, like the Chitra Purvaranga, when you come out and you add the strewing of flowers, the dance of the gods, like you see the Bharatanatyam, Odissi, they'll do that aspect, but these other aspects they'll reduce. So if it gets too much, then it's its own performance, and then one becomes tired. So that means the main performance would have to be much shorter. But if you have that, so one shouldn't get into, oh no, it has to be done like this, and we should do this, and just adding on to it. You have to always keep in mind that the purpose of the whole endeavor is to raise the consciousness of the audience by participation in the moods that are being shown in the drama. So it should be just something that's nice, you know. It's like hors d'oeuvres, you know. It's just a preliminary, just little some little snacks that make you interested in eating, you know. But if the hors d'oeuvres are so much, then you're not interested in dinner. You just keep sitting there and then go. So, yeah, because sometimes it's so much they do, like on, nowadays the alap itself has become its own performance. And so they do this big alap, and then they'll do after that the main part with the, you know, it's supposed to be the song, but it's still not a song. It just has the tabla playing or something like that. And so some people, you know, they're really into music and all that, and they go to the performances, but many times you have these big performances, they're outside, they're, you know, in the park, or, you know, they have it's in a big hall and all that, and, you know, they set up, you know, the mattresses and all that. So, you know, they go with a friend, they just go, again, they're late at night, you know, and so they go with a friend, tell him to wake him up when he starts actually the tabla starts. You know, so then he gets in, you know, a half hour, 45 minute nap, you know, sometimes. Like that. So it just gets too long. So one has to be able to appreciate that you have to see what's your audience, how long these things will be. So if the audience has that ability, you know, to deal with long, then you can do longer. But otherwise, you have to make it fit so that the audience is comfortable.
Is it recommended timing for this type of?
No, it just says it shouldn't be too long.
I have seen in Bengal, sometimes they do all night.
Yeah, but for the Bengalis, that works. But that's a whole night program, but it doesn't even necessarily mean the preliminaries are all night.
No, of course not.
So you have to...
It seems like, though, for the outsider.
Yeah. So, but it's talking about the preliminary shouldn't be too long. So that when you have the main drama, that you're able to focus on that, since that's the whole intent of the whole endeavor.
Yeah.
Right? So... Yeah, so you want to be very careful that that's not too long. And then the drama also is of a length that people appreciate. So like your example you're giving there, the Bengalis that, you know, they start at whenever they start and go till 4 in the morning, they're perfectly fine with that, you know. And it's not that they go back to their house and go to sleep. They just go back to their house and start their morning duties. You know, if it's time for bath, they go take the bath and start like that. They you know, it doesn't bother them. Like you see Lord Chaitanya Ramananda Rai, you know, they just went on with their duties. So you have to judge your audience, how long they can, you know, it's just like, let's say we do the yajna. Now we can do the yajna for an hour and a half, you know, or like Nisringa, you do it for 3 hours. But who comes?
Yes.
So if we're doing something in the Mahayajna and people are coming, then you want to keep it 45 minutes to an hour. But it's ours, you've come to us. That when we go out to play, we'll do shorter. Because people don't, you know, they've come for the overall program, the installation of the deity. So you can't take up 3 hours with the yajna. Otherwise, everyone's tired and not inspired when it comes to the you know, the abhishek and all those things. So you have to find balance where you keep it so it matches the audience. So then it will be shorter. You know, or sometimes people come out and do this whole big elaborate thing, you know, the pujaris, because they're into it and just learning it and they're interested in it. And then everybody else is bored. So it has to, the preliminaries have to just inspire, you know, create that interest. But if they go too long, then the audience is not. So that depends on the audience. So there's no set time. That's why I hasn't mentioned it. You know, like let's say the Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, and Charanas, they can sing and dance for 72 hours straight. So for them, that, you know, preliminaries might be a little longer. You know? But for us, they'll be a touch shorter. So, yeah. You judge your audience, you see. You watch how are people responding. The director will be out there and he'll be going around and talking and doing when he sees he loses attention. Then he knows it has to be shorter. Verses 167 to 177, introduction of the play and auspicious benedictions. After the preliminaries have been duly performed in the manner described, the introducer, Stapaka, resembling the director of the play in form and qualities, should enter along with the songs and music suitable to the occasion. He should perform a chari in praise of gods and Brahmins in accompaniment with the recitation of slokas containing sweet words and evoking various mellows, rasas, and emotional states, bhavas, right? Because it'll be in context of what the drama is.
Yes.
And so whatever it is, you want to bring all those things out. After thus pleasing the spectators, he should announce the name of the playwright, the poet, and then he is to start the prologue, prastavana, which relates to proclaiming the theme of the play. After introducing the play, the introducer should go out of the stage. Right. So he comes in, creates some Mangalacharan aspect. Then he brings out all the different moods and mellows and all that are there, glorifying different things. And then he'll mention about what the play is actually going to be about. Right? So it's not so much that you any surprises that are revealed. But at the same time, it's enough that you get interested to know, you know, what's going on. And at the same time, if you know this is what's happening, as it goes, then you'll be able to follow it. You know, there's sometimes the idea, I should know nothing about it, then it'll be more exciting. But actually, if you know something about it, then you know how it's progressing. You know where you are in the whole thing. Does that make sense? Because you're going to put together the rasas and the bhavas and all that that he's mentioned first with that theme. Because you know those, that's going to be the moods of the theme. Right? Does that make sense? Thus should be performed the preliminaries according to the rules. If any producer of a play will perform the preliminaries according to the rules laid down, nothing inauspicious will happen to him. And after his death, he will reach the heavenly region. Like, so without performing yajnas and this and that, then the director of the play and those, they'll go to the heavenly planets. Right? Because they've absorbed themselves in these, they followed the dictation of the Shastra. So this is their sacrifice. Right, so if you do everything for Krishna, then you go back to Godhead. Right? On the contrary, whoever produces a play in willful violation of the rules will sustain a great loss and will be reborn as a creature of lower order. Right? So, yeah. Then that's a willful violation. He knows it's there, but why do we have to do all these things and this and that? It's not important. And so then there'll be a problem. People that don't know, they're uneducated, they don't do these things, the reaction will be less. You know? But, you know, they're getting a reaction from not knowing about these things and just being in those kind of environments. Fan fired by a strong wind does not burn anything so quickly as does the wrongly made production. So in other words, you can't just whimsically do whatever you want. That's why you see production's done nicely. Everybody's happy. Production's not, and everybody complains. So that's the whole point. So that's why production being done in a proper way. And then you find the uniqueness within that proper way. You know, they'll say, oh, but these are old things. There's nothing old. It's how you put it together. It's just like eating. You know, I mean, it's just like, how archaic is that? You would think all these modern, up-to-date people would have already given that up. You know, you're still eating? Come on, that's so like, you know, like, 300 BC, you know, come on. You know? But it's that, so it's just a matter of how you put it together. And even you take any cuisine, you can do unlimited variety within the cuisine itself. So the same way is within these, then there's so many ways you can put it together. Does that make sense? You know, so that's, yes.
Sometimes Maharaj, devotees, they perform drama and they mix styles.
Mm.
They take partial reality, like from the scripture, say,
mm-hmm.
and mix it with fiction or mix it with a modern characters,
mm-hmm.
and well, as you mentioned, the difference of opinion is always there. Some really like it, but some people with the, you know, those who know Shastra and with the finer taste say it's like, it's straightforward rasa bas. So is it advisable to do these kind of things?
I would say is you should choose your audience. That's going to be one aspect. So it's a matter of the point is if you have the original pastime, what's the need of having some modern character do those things? There's no real need. It's just, oh, we always doing it like that. Why don't we do it like this? So it's just mental speculation. It's just that's the idea, because the person who did it originally, that's going to bring out the most taste. If we remember, it's about the taste in the audience, rather than the artist came up with something far out. Oh yeah, well that was different.
Yes.
You know, it's just like I remember mother saying about you know, because you're supposed to, like, say somebody, you go to somebody's place or someone gives you something to eat. You know, you're always supposed to be pleasant and like that. So, but if it's like not very nice, you know, then you can always say, well, that was filling. You know, so you said something nice, but it just means it just filled your belly. There was no, you didn't mention the taste. You know, So the thing is this, oh yeah, that was cool, that was unique, that was this and that, but what emotion are we invoking here? Even the people that liked it, what emotion is being evoked? Well, that was different, that was far out, that was, you know, so then it's just about the senses, it's just about the mind. What about the higher qualities? Did they, you know, if let's say they're taking the thing of Sita and Ram and they're putting it into modern context or something like that, then is it evoking the same aspects of that interest in the Lord and that mellows that are connected to the Lord? Or it's just connected with this guy and his, whoever the lady is? You know, so then you get distracted by all these things. You know, who is the guy and what is him? And so he's modern. So what brings it out and makes him somebody that you'd be interested in? And some people like that kind of hero. Some people don't. Well, Lord Ram, he's universally liked. You know, well, if he's the tough guy, some will like it. He's the nice guy, someone else will like it. He's the intelligent guy, another big group will like it. You know, so which one? So Ramachandra is the universal one. You know, so you have to be very, very careful there. You know, like that. Or you take other themes. You do something like, what do you call it? They want to do something esoteric and all that. You take, like, you know, Prabhupada did. You take the, what do you call it? The, what is it? The description of autumn or these other far out things. You know, take some other, you just find something that will be interesting. But it's about the Lord. So you can do, but then that's what we're saying. That's why we see up to now, he mentioned about, thus after pleasing the spectators, he should announce it. So it's not about pleasing the audience, because then you're pleasing them and then they'll appreciate you. It's a matter of pleasing the audience, because that's what it's for, is to evoke within them mellows that are uplifting. But if we're only invoking in them mellows that aren't uplifting, you know, just material things, then it doesn't take on the divine quality of which its nature is. And so then it comes down to, well, what's it for? What's the purpose of this? And you say, if it's preaching, okay, but did that invoke feelings towards the Lord? And if it didn't, then that means it wasn't a good production. You know? But if the actors and the director and everybody was very happy, then you can see as well, maybe it wasn't about the audience. It was about themselves as artists. So that's why the director has to be able to control all that. You know, now it's out of hand. Everything's out of hand. But the whole point is that you have to see what it's for. So you have to be very, very careful about that. You know. But if you know, means if what was it called? The word he used before. What was it? There's a kind of word they use. I don't remember. But it meant you have different styles, in that you're using these different styles means theatrical styles themselves, not your themes and all that. That you can sometimes get away with mixing stuff. Because the Sanskrit already has somebody. Like you have these persons coming out. And this person who comes out, the reciter. Then he comes out, maybe the director or maybe someone else, but whatever it is, that person, excuse me, is directly interacting with the audience. You know, and so that's not a standard aspect within drama. They come out and there's the fourth wall. You're not even there. It would be like there's a wall, but somehow, you know, and everybody within on this side of the wall acts however they act. But that wall is glass and you can see. And instead of standing like this, they'll stand like this. You know? So you know, technically, square is like this, but square will be like this. You know, like when they build a room, it'll have that small and then go way out like this. You know, this. So it's all adjusted for the audience to be able to appreciate. So then it has to be seen as that these things are, it's about the audience being uplifted in consciousness. And if that's not happening, then it's a failure. You know, if it's just a matter of entertainment, you know, relaxation, okay, nice. You're getting, but if you're doing the uplifting the consciousness, the recreation and relaxation will come along with it. You know, like that. So, yeah. So that's the point. In the Vedic, everything is done. You know, you're making your money to maintain the family and that, but at the same time, as you are following duties, you're connecting to the Lord, so you're advancing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
If I remember well, it means the audience must be devotee in that dharma.
Yeah, well, generally speaking, is that it's supposed to uplift the consciousness. Even for not devotees, it'll bring them closer to and remind them of.
But can we say it is like a team? To be like there is a director, the actor, and the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody wants to become more Krishna conscious.
Yes. Well, the audience has come to see something about Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
And so that's why they should present it that way.
Yes.
But otherwise, you do these other things, and then you have that theme underlying. But what you have to remember is that material world, it's Krishna Shaktis, like we were seeing before, is that Krishna Shaktis then you know, empower the jivas to engage their senses in so many varieties of ways. And so what are the themes of which you can do that? Because if we're being empowered with the Shaktis, it's not our Shaktis that are doing it. And that means how things are unfolding is not necessarily our idea, but by the modes we go through it. You know what I'm saying? And so we identify with it, so then as it unfolds, we're happy with it and the distresses that come and all that. So these are the things that Krishna's energies are doing. So that means all the themes are from the spiritual world. And then here they come down, and then, you know, they're reduced in their magnificence and their intensity and all those things. And, you know, you add the modes, and so then it'll be the same theme on these lower and lower levels. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's just like, they say you have problem in the different groups and this and that, and but in high society, so then you're going to have themes that deal with that. You know, you're going to have themes that deal with what's happening on the street, you know, and the gangs and how they're interacting. You know, they're going to have just common people, regular old people, you know. And so you're going to have all these different things and different modes and all that, but it's still the same thing. So there's nothing new. So this idea is you're using your intelligence to take the energies at hand and use them in a very nice way. But the point is if you don't follow the nature of them, it's not going to come out great. You know what I'm saying? You know, I want to do something different. Everyone does it the same way, so I cook this nice bowl of sweet rice like that, and then I take a Corella and I deep fry it, you know? And then afterwards I carefully open it, take out, you know, what's in, you know, inside, and then I stuff inside there I don't know what, like a mango achar, you know, but the one in oil, right? You know, so very hot, spicy and all that. So, and then I put that very carefully and nicely on top of the, what do you call it? Yes. And then having done that, then let's see, what could we top it with? And then I could take some soy sauce and I cook it down. You know, so it gets thick and all that. And then I can, you know, put it nice, you know, on the top. Unique, looks fabulous and all that, but how's the taste going to be like? Not very good. Yeah, so that's the thing, is that you could think of that, oh, no one's ever done this before, but there's a reason no one's ever done that before. You know? Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is even your being inspirational, you can't leave the rules, but you know how to work within the rules. Someone's doing is improvising in jazz, they never leave the rules of jazz, otherwise it wouldn't be jazz anymore. It stays and it's just jazz. You know, does that make sense? So it doesn't change like that. But within that, then they're inspired. So this idea is that, oh, I can take anything and everything, like that. There's a reason that that's not done. There's a reason that nobody comes to your performances. And it's not that, oh, you know, all these people, they're not, they don't know the higher taste. It's because it's not a taste. It's a bad taste. It's rasa bas. So that's the point. You know, we want to bring out these other things. Oh, everybody just shows that, you know, how you say Lord Ramachandra comes and does this, but, you know, or Suparnika, you know, walks in and, you know, makes a point, we cut off her nose. But no, we have to show Suparnika doing all kinds of crazy stuff for 5 minutes so we know how, you know, not nice she is. You know, everybody knows she's not nice, you know. Even just one little nuance is enough. But no, they have to stretch it out. So, you know, and that's okay for a karmi audience, but for a devotee audience, you already know. It's just like we see Mahabharata, then how much description is there? And in the same pastime in the Bhagavatam, it's like one sentence. Is that so? That's the whole thing. Is that it's just you have to see, you know, if you're actually getting what you're thinking at the same time as your audience. Mm-hmm. So if it is being done for karmis who have no idea, then you have to do it in such a way that the cultural aspects, the artistic aspect, is very nice. You know, and at the same time as it'll have themes that will be interesting to them. Yes. But it has to uplift their consciousness. So for us as devotees, why wouldn't it be something about Krishna? You find something that they could relate to. Does that make sense? Okay. Riti, having described the preliminaries of a dramatic performance, Bharat Muni next enunciates the contents of Natya Shastra. The next two chapters describe the concept of mellows, rasa, and emotional states, bhavas, which form the soul of a dramatic performance, right? Because the rasas and the bhavas, if that's not invoked in the audience, then it hasn't done what it's supposed to do. That would be like saying, okay, now that we've described the preliminaries of, you know, a meal and, you know, how bringing out the you know, the plates and putting them down nicely and making the organization and that and checking everything's in line and all that. And then, you know, when people come down and saying, yes, so we're going to have a nice meal now, and there'll be all these different preparations. And so people know what's happening. We've done the preliminaries like that. But now if after all this, and we put the, you know, with great... you know, show and all that, we put down the preparations and they take and there's no taste. What's the point?
Karuna.
Karuna, okay. Yeah. Yes. Or shoka.
So then nobody can blame it on us. You don't have taste.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, and then you have to sit down with them. Oh, this is so, oh my God. And now you're like, never going. You know, now looking at each other like that. Like that. You know, and then you bring up, man, you'd have to be so, you'd have to be like completely diseased to not appreciate this, you know, like that. And like that. Yeah, just things like that. That would be a wild experience. Yeah. But once they found out about it, then you might get... severely chastised. Yes, but. Chapter 6, Mellows, Rasa. Adhyaya Prakashika. After hearing about the preliminaries to be performed before the dramatic performance, the sages inquire about the contents of the Natya Veda. In reply to their query, Bharat Muni first enumerates the topics that constitute the treatise of Natya Shastra. The goal of any dramatic performance is to let the audience experience divine sentiments and emotions through the play, and thus the aspects of rasa forms the core aspect of the Natya Shastra treatise. Because that's its whole purpose. Therefore, in this chapter, Bharat Muni first elaborates on the topic of rasa tattva, while specifying the various components of rasa, the eight types of rasa, and the details of their application in a dramatic performance. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 3. The sages inquire on the topics of Natya Shastra. After hearing about the rules regarding the preliminaries, the sages question Bharata. Explain how the mellows, rasas, enumerated by experts in dramatic art, attain their special qualities, and why are the bhavas so called, and how do they affect a person? Besides these, what are the digest, samagra? The digest means the contents. What's the table of contents? The memorial verses, Kartika, and etymological, Nirukta, of the Natya Shastra. So he wants to know, what are the various topics? You know, it's like if you see table of contents, you like get a book. You want to know what is in. First you open the table, and then you see the headings. Mm-hmm. Then you know, okay, then that looks like that. The memorial verses, they're going to be the ones that the Kartikas are the ones that it's based off of. Like, let's say in you have 10 chapters. Each one has their topic. So there's going to be a Kartika it's going to be the main verse that everything else is based on. You know, like, let's say, like, okay, Nectar of Devotion. You have the one about Anyavi Lashita Shunyam. That's a Kartika. Okay. You know, and so you see the Acharyas will then write books and comment on that. Mm-hmm. You know, or the Shraddha de Prema. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. All these things, then like that, these are Kartikas. Okay. And so that means everything's going out from there. Or let's say, yeah, or the Chatur Shloki. Yes. You know, they give, you know, from that everything is coming. So that's the thing. And etymological Nirukta of the Natya Shastra. How it's the background, how does it come up? Why is it called Natya Shastra? Why isn't it called, banana split or something, you know. Does that make sense? Or brioche? Or, you know, it's like that. Verses 4 to 30. Samagra, Kartika, and Nirukta of Natya Shastra. At these words of the sages, Bharata said, I am not capable of describing all the topics about drama. Because knowledge is unlimited. It means you have the Vedic knowledge is unlimited. You take one book within the Vedic knowledge, it itself is unlimited. And then you take one part of it, like they say, then not you just take the music, that's unlimited. Because Krishna is unlimited, everything's unlimited. So then it's just a matter of how much the audience can use and this and that. So you see is that the original knowledge is very, very big. Very big. And so then it comes down to what can be used. Like we said, Puranas are 1 billion verses. But we're given 400,000. And as it is, if we have read the whole Bhagavatam, we'll consider, you know, we did a good job. You know, 18,000 out of 400,000. You know, we're not worried about the reading the other ones. Like that. So that's it just comes down like that. So he's saying, you know, I can't all the topics because it's unlimited. For knowledge, arts, and crafts connected with it are respectively manifold and endless in number. And as it is not possible to explain fully even one of these subjects, which are vast like an ocean, there cannot be any question of mastering them all, right? So you know all this, and then which ones you're able to relate to and deal with means you have to have the structure. But then you take those and emphasize those more. Like, let's say someone, they're a dancer, or they know dance very well. But at the same time, they're into dramas and all that. So then in the performance of dramas, they may introduce more dance. Someone else may not know any dance at all, so in their dramas there won't be any dance. Or they might invite somebody in to do something, what could we do here, and they'll put a little something in. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that everything's there, and then you figure out from yourself what you're able to do and the people around you are able to do. You know, and what the audience, and that way then you put something together. I shall thus tell you only about the digest, samagra, of the Natya Shastra, which has its contents embodied in a small number of sutras, karikas, but which promotes inference in connection with the subject, nirukta. Right? When subjects taught in detail have been compressed and brought together in the form of sutras. Ah, there is. Samagra is the collection of logical arrangements of statements relating to a particular topic. Karika is a statement or a group of statements which gives precise and succinct explanation of rules related to a particular topic. And nirukta is the proper interpretation of the meaning of the words according to the context of the topic's discussion. Right? Because nirukta means your, how you say, kind of like the extended explanation. You know, aspects that somebody might not, how you say, catch. Obscure meanings and other things like that. What's the variety of meanings and everything that could be there? Does that make sense?
It's not the direct meaning?
It could be, means, it's not that they're not direct, but it means that just like the acharyas are showing that, you know, you have, it could explain it like this. But it could also be, you know, there's this aspect. You know, it's like we just saw today, Jiva Goswami gave like that too. But you see, Sanatana Goswami does that a lot. He says, it means this, or it could mean this.
But
or,
all of that would be nirukta?
Yeah, no, all of that. Means, in other words, it's just like, let's say we have a word, but it has so many synonyms.
Yes.
So that means all those aspects are part of that word. But depending upon the context, it would apply this way in this situation, or that way in that. So, or that range, so that you know, because when you're dealing with the main, the samagra, you know, the digest of it, you know, what is there, then that has all of those options. So then you can pick, I'm going to take this from here, and this from here, and put it together. But they have to match the tastes and all that. Just like I have, let's say I take 100 words, and each of those words has, let's say, 4 or 5 different synonyms. So depending on what I want to express, I'll take this particular synonym from this word, from word one, but this word, I'll take a different synonym, because those will match. You know, like that, and you have to put it together. Therefore, then all the tastes and everything have to match. So nirukta will be basically your explanation of it, your background of it. So that's why you see there's the three levels. You give your overview of it, then you give your more exact definition, and then you give your bigger explanation. So even in logic, you have your thesis, you're going to have your heta, your explanation, your reasons, then you're going to have, your reasons, then you're going to have your explanation. So basically it's going to follow that same form. But in this case, we're talking about the literary aspect, then it uses these terminologies. So, yeah. When subjects taught in detail have been compressed and brought together in the form of sutras and their bhashyas, commentary, these constitute, according to the learning, a samagraha. The samagraha of the Natya Veda deals with the mellows, rasa, the ecstatic emotional states, bhava, the histrionic representation, abhinaya, the practices, dharmi, the styles, vritti, local usages, pravritti, success, siddhi, the notes, swara, the instrumental music, atodya, songs, and the stage. Right? So that's all the things that it deals with. So if you're saying all the subject in detail, but you can bring it up and sing like this, because you'll see is somebody can sometimes talk for a long time about something, so if you say, okay, but what is the essence of it? They may not be able to say. So that means is they haven't, like that. According to the learned. So they haven't dealt with it enough to be able to bring it to that point. So that you can say is, this is all there is. It means like this, if we say here, in drama, there'll only be these points. There'll only be mellow, bhava, the abhinaya, the dharmi, that's it. There isn't anything else.
Yes.
And then if you know that, then it's like, oh, okay. So that's what's there. Because otherwise some people will say, oh, the costumes, the makeup, the stage, you know, arrangements and all that, the lighting, the this, that. But that's not what's mentioned here. Those are in support of this. You understand? So that's it, is they don't actually know drama. Because those who are into that, you can do it with just, let us say, you can be very effective in just, let's say, there's a big stage, it's dark, and in the middle of the stage, you mean there's a light on the middle of the stage, and in the middle of the light, there's a, what do you call it? You know, those, they're a seat, but they have no back, and they tend to be a little tall. Yeah, stool. Like that. Right? Then somebody comes out and they're dressed in some kind of like, let's say, a monotone kind of color or something. Mm-hmm. Something very simple and all that. You know, nothing clashes, nothing contrasts. You know, unless it's like black and white or something like this. They come out, sit down there. And in their hand, they have a book. Mm-hmm. Then they relate the drama themselves. They sit down on that stool, right? You don't sit both feet. You put, you know, one foot's down, one's up like that. You have the book like this. You know, they've memorized the book, right? And then they start, they read. Then they sometimes they say, sometimes they'll stand up and stand in another place and face the other way. Then they'll move over and then do this way. Then they'll go back up and sit on the seat. It'll work. Sorry?
It's called dramatic reading.
Yeah. And so then it's a style, right? But it's not based on everything else other than you set the mood. Mm-hmm. You know, by doing that, you've set the mood. So that it's very simple and all that. But at the same time, it's all about how they present it and all that that will evoke all these different emotions and this and that. So. Does that make sense? What are you smiling about?
No, because it actually, as you explained it, it's very effective. Be very effective.
Yeah, but you'll see, it's generally our devotees never use it like that.
Well, Gurujan Prabhu does sometimes.
Okay.
Others
do. Well, it's one thing if you sit and do, that'll be a dramatic reading.
Yeah.
But when you have the book, you read from there and then act and all that at the same time, that's called reader's theater. You know, it'll just be a little extent. It's the same thing, just one you're not moving. You know, you might move your hands and do stuff. The other one, you'll actually you can physically move. But you don't have to, but you can. So they're basically the same thing. Just, I think, if you add in the stool and move around a bit, then it's called reader's theater. And if you don't, then it's dramatic reading. But it's the same. But it's very effective. Like you said. So if you have nothing, it's a very good way to do things. So that's the time, is maybe people, oh no, we can't do theater, we don't have all the stuff. It's like, you don't need all the stuff. So that's the thing. You can have these things. You have the rasa, you have the bhava, you have the historic representation, you know, the story, the theme like that, and all the different things that you're going to show there, the moods and all that. All these different aspects that'll be there. Then it works. So.
Yeah, also, as you explained previously, if your audience is Brahminical,
yes,
they will appreciate.
Yes.
But, you know, others, they need
a bit more stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Lower down it gets, the more expensive.
Exactly.
So that's the whole point.
So it should be fancy, otherwise no experience, because it's gross, it's not subtle.
Yeah.
But Brahmins, they can appreciate subtle.
Subtle,
things.
Yeah. Like that. Like that, or yes, or it's, what is it? Oh, I don't know if it's pronounced right. Artiste. No. How do you say artist? Huh?
What did you say?
Means the person, the artist himself. How do you say artist?
Artiste.
Yeah, that's. But you don't get it just right, and it's like, what?
That's
prayer. Yeah, it's just so exact.
Little.
You have to get your mouth in the right position. I think each language has its position, and then you can speak the language. Until you get that, you can't do it.
Also, a lot of nasal sounds.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it's like, you know, if someone who has that more artistic, they can appreciate, because they mental speculate on that sensual platform. It's not gross, it's subtle. So a lot of times you see the Brahminical and these really intelligent artists, they can get together and relate. You know, if the Brahmins can relate to art and the arts are intellect and the artist is intellectual, they can work together. That's why then you have the director and the performers. You know, because that's your top quality. And as you go down into the village, you know, then it's, you know, they're artists, and then whatever they do, but they're playing for a local village, and it works. It matches. They think village, and the other guys are villagers, and they're, everybody's happy. Like that. Okay.
But now I feel through the way there are sometimes some people alone, making the show alone, sitting, as you say, alone in something and saying something, reciting and involving the audience also. But it seems that according to this Sangraha, the person who is doing that, he must know quite well.
Yes, no, they have to be very. The idea is that it's just like once I was asking, I noticed that. There would be, let's say, like at the beginning of, there's that one recording of Srila Prabhupada singing the six Goswamis.
Yeah.
And before it starts playing, there's that little sarod intro. So I was thinking, well, that's nice. You know, that's the level of music we should know. We should know to be able to give these little intros before you start and things like that. And that's it. So I thought, you know, it's sort of that, you know, because the intro is like maybe 30 seconds. And so I thought, okay, well, this is going to be, you know, easy, you know, something direct, essential, and something we can practically use. So then I go to, you know, some, you know, decent artist and all that and tell him exactly what I'm looking for. And he goes, oh, you have to know, you have to be very expert in music to do that. So new people can't do that. It's only someone who's very expert, they could do that. And then it's like, oh, you have to know the whole thing to be able to do that. So so that's what it's meaning. You know the whole thing, then you can give the essence.
Yes.
So because Bharat Muni is that master,
yes,
then he can give this Samagra, the Kartika, and the Nirupta.
Yes.
But otherwise, others wouldn't be able to say, oh, you know, if we said, this is what's in drama. Like, let's just say, someone didn't know that we're studying this, and I bring in someone who's an artist, and I say, in drama, there's these parts. That's all there is.
Yes.
They would probably disagree.
Yes.
No, what are you, you know, you're leaving out so much. Yes. You know, I mean, in other words, their experience I'm leaving out. But what about, you know, this?
Yes.
So,
yes,
that's the whole, you know, yes, thing. You know, said, no, this is what it is. Anything else is supportive.
Yes.
You know, you're going to have schedules, you're going to have drama practices, you're going to have, you know, all these things. That's going to be, yes, supportive of this. And if it's not attaining this, it's not a drama.
Yes. This is the primary one.
Yes, this is the primary.
Yes.
When a rule is clearly and succinctly explained in a sutra with a minimum number of words, it is called a kartika. So it's a rule. It means, so you have the general point, the detail has been compressed and brought together, right? So the form of sutras and the commentary constitute the sangraha. So you can take everything together and that's there. And then when you give the definite rules, like, you know, you're saying, what is rasa? And then you have a verse that tells exactly what rasa is. That will be the kartika, right? Etymology or nirukta is the definitive meaning established from considering its root and its pratyaya or affix. Yeah, because then the affix, it'll be either at the beginning, the end, or the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So then all these different things, how to understand that means that if we've said rasa, So then what is the root word, and what, as it develops, then all the affixes that are established, then what do you get? And what does that mean? It includes the rules of grammatical interpretation. Means like how you're going to interpret. So they want a particular thing is that you can come up through the rules in this way and end up with a word like this, but you could come up and end like that. So we've ended up with that. That's what we mean, not this. Because otherwise someone says, no, but you could also mean this. And no, we don't mean that. It means this. Yeah. The significance of the root involved as well as the reasons for modifying it. Footnote 9. Nirukta is the science of study of the meaning of words and is categorized as one of the six Veda Angas. The most famous work on Nirukta is compiled by Yaska, 9th century BC. 9th century BC. Yeah, Prabhupada quotes him. Yaska. By the time of Yaska, many words of the Vedas were not in common usage, and thus the language of the Vedas had become difficult to understand. That's, what do you say? 2,800 years ago. And thus the language had become difficult to understand. So some scholars, such as Kautsa, argued that the Vedic hymns are meaningless. Therefore, Yaska prepared a list of such difficult words and then explained their origin and meanings in his treatise on Nirukta. So that way then he explains all the words of the Veda. Because that, yeah. Because then here, because you're starting from there, considering the root and coming up, you need to know the grammar and how that works. And you're showing the path. But there is a total of root words, there's 2,000. There aren't more roots. And of common usage, there'll be 1,200. So all words come out of those. Everything that there is. So the unlimited words come out of that. And by grammar, you bring them up, and then how you're using it. You're using it as a direct noun, as a secondary noun, or what kind of secondary noun, or different things like this, or the verb. Then you have the ways it's used. Does that make sense? So all the languages originally were like that. Some of them still may have that connection, and many of them lose that. Like I think Icelandic still has that connection. The language hasn't changed in 1,000 years. So if you give them old English, like Chaucer and all that, you know that nowadays you read it, you can't even tell it's English. For them, it's just like current language. That's what people speak on the street. You know, it's really far out. So then, because originally an English dictionary was very small, because it just dealt with the roots and then what you could do with the roots. You know, but nowadays, there's anything you can do with the word is in the dictionary. You know. Go, going, gone. Yeah, no, but before it just had whatever it would just have go, and like that and all that. And then by grammar, you create all the other ones. Yes. You didn't have to explain all of them. Yes. People had more brains, you know. They knew more grammar. You just gave the what that means. Does that make sense? You know, so go means cow, go means senses, go means get out of here. You know, so you know all these different meanings are there, and then you can see according to the situation, or take your senses and get out of here, things like that. Yeah.
With the cow.
With the cow. No, leave the cow. Leave the cow. You take your senses and, you know, how you say.
Exit.
Yes, exit. Yes.
Now it seems here that they speak about the sutra, minimum of four. You know.
Yes.
So it's a great endeavor to do that nowadays.
Yes, but that means you know what's going on.
Yes.
It's very interesting because I didn't really understand this point. Then when we were working with Manu, that I was trying to give some meaning to all the verses. Yes. And so I wanted to give a heading, but because the verses themselves are already so concise. Yes. Then you had to really work at it, that you would have a one line. In other words, the rule was is you had to be able to explain what it says in that verse within one line. It can't go down to the next line. Yes. It has to be short, like a heading. Yes. And so then somehow or another we did that on either a verse or sometimes two or three verses go together and they're explaining one thing. Mm-hmm. But for all the things, then we had all those sutras put together.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, I didn't think there were sutras or anything, but just they were just the explanation of each thing. And then, you know, somebody figure out that you can take all those, because they're in a particular heading, and make those into a table of contents.
Mm-hmm.
And that way then you could find anything that you wanted in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know, you do the whole thing, you put it together. I think the whole work was like 200 pages or so, maybe 300, I think. And but the sutras themselves of the contents was 50 pages. But it's like Manu sutras. It's everything that is described in Manu in a sutra form. It's only afterwards when I saw the Artha sutras. Chanakya made the Artha Shastra, but then he made sutras that explained the whole topic. You know, because once you've studied it, now you can look at the sutras and remember and then keep up to date and you don't forget anything. But but you wouldn't necessarily be able to study from the sutras. A teacher could sit the sutras and then explain it to everybody.
Yes.
But you wouldn't be able to study from the sutras.
Yes.
And so then I understood is that, okay, here's something that then people could work with. But only afterwards. But it was that process that you just have to, and sometimes you'd have to sit there a long time to be able to take that. You know, you try and then, you know, one word goes down and, you know, and that you're not going to do the thing. Well, let's make it into, you know, 5-point print, you know,
yes.
Then it'll fit. No, it's all the same print. So that you have to work on how to say it, but it's complete. It's not that you've gone, you know, don't go bad. You know, it has to actually say something.
Yeah.
You know, so... Like you said, it's so these sages. So when you see is you have Vedanta Sutra, to be able to take all the Upanishads and then write it into 555 sutras and explains everything and defeats all. Not only it means if he was just going to say just what's the actual direct philosophy, he could probably do that in, you know, a few sutras. But to be able to defeat all opposition to that.
Yes.
And five, that's like an amazing work.
Yes.
You know? So that's the thing. And he's taking the whole Upanishads. I was just taking something that had already been condensed and just trying to condense it a little more. But he's taking from that whole work and then making it into like that. So it's a big work. You know, or Panini then with his, you know, sutras. You know, so like that. But he was, you know, really into making it short. So then, you know, that's why the opening of Harinamrita Vyakaran is that he's talked about Panini. It's like he was this, by being able to shorten a sutra by one half a syllable, then he was as happy as if, you know, he got the information that his wife had bore a son. You know, so... You know, so he was totally into that. So, and then he makes the point is we're not going to do that because no one understands what he's talking about. Like you say, is oh, Panini is his is so, you know, complete and everything. But yes, there's I think 2,500 sutras, and it's all the grammar, but it needs 7,500 shlokas or sutras to explain it.
Yes.
Otherwise, you won't understand what it's saying. But then the Harinamrita Vyakaran, he wrote it that on its own, the 2,500, you can understand what it means. And if you're brand new, of course, then there's commentaries. But I don't think he wrote a commentary. There was no need. It's just self-evident. So it's just, you know, he preferred that style to make it very obvious. But it's still essence. But it's an obvious essence. Is that? Yeah. Okay. So. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.